Please turn to Psalm 111. Psalm 111, and we want to read verse 10, the very last verse of this very beautiful psalm. Psalm 111 and verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever. This morning we studied this psalm, and as we did so, we pointed out that the main theme of this psalm is that the Lord is to be praised. That's a theme that's addressed in many of the psalms. The Lord is to be praised. But the last verse that we read just a moment ago, verse 10, touches on how to be in good standing with the Lord. One requirement is fearing the Lord. And the writer identified fearing the Lord as the beginning of wisdom. But then he mentioned another requirement for being in good standing with the Lord, and that is doing the Lord's commandments. And the writer tells us that those who do the Lord's commandments have a good understanding. Now, if something can be identified as the beginning of wisdom, I believe it deserves our utmost attention. And the writer identified fearing the Lord as the beginning of wisdom. But then also, if something relates to having a good understanding, I believe that deserves our careful attention too. The writer tells us that those who do the Lord's commandments have a good understanding. So these are two very important points that relate to being in good standing with the Lord. In our lesson, we want to study a number of passages that show how the Lord blesses those who do his commandments. Now we understand from Psalm 11 and verse 10 that those who do God's commandments have a good understanding. But the Bible also emphasizes the fact that the Lord blesses those who do his commandments. Now, once we've established that, it ought to create within us a desire to know the Lord's will, to study his word carefully, to understand his will, then to depend upon him for help to put it into practice. The first point we want to make is that obeying the Lord's commandments was emphasized throughout the Old Testament scriptures. And Solomon, in Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 13, made it very clear that under the Old Covenant, God required his people to obey him. He talked about the conclusion of the whole matter. And that's drawing attention to just how important this is. Well, what is the conclusion of the whole matter? Fearing God and keeping his commandments. Solomon said that's the whole duty of man. God has always required his people to do his commandments or to obey him. Those are two expressions that can be used interchangeably when we talk about doing God's will or obeying his commands. We're talking about the same thing. But under the Old Covenant, God blessed those who obeyed him. To illustrate the point, let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 28. Deuteronomy chapter 28. Moses wrote in verses 1 and 2 that God would bless the Israelites if they would obey him. Now keep in mind what the book of Deuteronomy is all about. It is a repetition of the law. Remember that God gave the law to the Israelites through Moses. And the children of Israel went right up to the border of the promised land. It was theirs for the taking. Moses sent out the spies. They returned, and 10 gave an evil report. It's unfortunate, but the Israelites listened to the 10 spies, and consequently, they rebelled against God. And he caused his people to wander in the wilderness until that older generation passed away. They were not allowed to go into the promised land, only Joshua and Caleb. But before the Israelites finally went into the promised land, Moses repeated the law. So that's what the book of Deuteronomy is all about. Moses repeated the law for the benefit of those Israelites about to go in and take the land of Canaan. Look at verses 1 and 2 of Deuteronomy 28. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations on the earth. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Now we won't take the time to read the verses that follow, but suffice it to say, in verses 3 through 14, God showed just how abundantly he would bless his people if they would be in subjection to him and do his commandments. These blessings are very special. But while the Old Testament emphasized the fact that God required his people to obey his commandments and that he would bless them for doing so, the Old Testament scriptures also reveal the consequences of disobeying God. You know, you don't go very far into the Bible until you'll find God's people disobeying him. God told Adam and Eve that they were not to eat the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They were told that when they ate that fruit, they would die. Well, the serpent came along and tempted Eve. She gave in to the temptation. She ate some of the fruit. She gave some to Adam, and he ate it. And at that point, sin entered the world. You see, sin is the transgression of God's will. God punished everyone involved. He punished the serpent, he punished Eve, and he punished Adam. God punished Adam and Eve, whom he created, for disobeying his will. Now let's go back to Deuteronomy chapter 28 for a moment. Notice what's written in verse 15. There's a contrast being made. In the first 14 verses, Moses showed how God would bless his people if they would do his commandments. Notice the change in verse 15. But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. And this is a rather lengthy chapter. Goes down through verse 68. And in this entire second part of the chapter, God explicitly showed how he would curse his people if they disobeyed him. The first part of the chapter, he said, if you will do my commandments, I will bless you abundantly. But then he covered the other side of the issue as well. He said, if you rebel against my will and refuse to obey, if you disobey, I will curse you. Well, God made it very plain. Not only does he want his people to obey his will, and he will bless his people for obeying his will, he makes it very clear in his word that he will punish those who disobey him. Now, we have a number of examples in the Old Testament of people who submitted to God's will. But you know, we also have examples of people who disobeyed. One who disobeyed God's will is King Saul. Let's turn to 1 Samuel chapter 15. 1 Samuel 15. Let's read verse 3. Now Samuel was the judge and the prophet at the time. And he was the one who anointed Saul to be the first king of Israel. God revealed his will to Saul through Samuel. Now, this is near the beginning of his reign as the king of Israel. Notice these instructions. Now go and smite Amalek, and utterly destroy all that they have, and spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass. Now I ask you a question. Is there anything difficult about understanding God's will? He made it very clear. These instructions are very thorough. You see, the Amalekites were sinful people, and God was punishing them. He was going to use Saul to accomplish that punishment. God intended for the Amalekites to be completely destroyed. Now, how did Saul respond? Look at verse 9. But Saul and the people spared Agag, he was the king of Amalek, and the best of the sheep, and of the oxen, and of the fatlings, and the lambs, and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them. But everything that was vile and refuse, that they destroyed utterly. Now this verse reveals to us how Saul and the people responded to God's will. We know what God's will was. We've already read it in verse 3. And we just read the response of Saul and the people. Now Samuel came on the scene and he questioned Saul about what he did. And Saul insisted that he obeyed the word of the Lord. Samuel asked him a question. I'm paraphrasing. He said, "What are those animals I hear?" Samuel knew that something was wrong, and God Almighty knew it too. Let's look at verses 22 and 23. Now, this is Samuel speaking to Saul. And Samuel said, "Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king." Saul illustrates what a serious matter it is to disobey God. Now, God would have blessed him abundantly if he had just submitted to God's will. But eventually, the kingdom was taken from Saul and given to David. So from these few verses in the Old Testament, we can see that that part of the scriptures emphasized the fact that obeying the Lord's commands is a matter of utmost importance. Let's turn our attention to the New Testament, because the New Testament scriptures also emphasize the importance of obeying the Lord's commands. As a matter of fact, let's begin with the Lord himself. The Lord requires his people to obey him, and Jesus made that clear on many occasions. But let's notice something he said toward the end of his great Sermon on the Mount. That sermon is found in Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7. As Jesus was coming to the conclusion, he placed special emphasis on the importance of obeying what he had just revealed. Now, throughout that sermon, Jesus revealed his will on some very important subjects. How he covered that much ground in one sermon, it took the Lord's wisdom to do that. But he did it. And how blessed we are to have this great sermon recorded for us. By the way, you can read it in about 22 minutes. I don't know how long it took the Lord to preach it, but I sure am glad we've got it recorded. But notice what the Lord said in Matthew 7 and verse 21. "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." Jesus made it very clear that doing the will of the Father is a requirement for entering the kingdom. And let's consider another passage written by one of the Lord's apostles. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 3. John mentioned the love of God. And I want you to notice what he mentioned in connection with the love of God. 1 John 5 and verse 3, "For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous." According to this verse, the love of God is associated with keeping his commandments. Now, what about the person who says that he loves God, but then he doesn't obey his will? Something's wrong, because John, an inspired apostle, identified the love of God as keeping God's commandments. I've always thought it was interesting that John said, "The Lord's commandments are not grievous." You know, during the time that Jesus was training his apostles, he dealt with some matters that were somewhat challenging to the apostles. Remember, it was James and John who came to the Lord, and I believe they got their mother involved, thinking that maybe Jesus would respond to her request and wouldn't reject her. They wanted to be able to sit one on the Lord's right hand and the other on the Lord's left hand in his kingdom. Well, Jesus reasoned with them. And the other apostles got mad at James and John. Jesus took advantage of that situation to teach a very important lesson to all of the apostles. Now, I can't help but think that the Lord's instructions on several occasions challenged John. But what did he do? He submitted to the Lord's will. What a great example he set before us. And he identified the love of God as keeping God's commandments. So the New Testament, in these few verses, emphasize the importance of doing God's commandments. But the New Testament also shows that the Lord blesses those who obey him. Now, we've already established that principle from the Old Testament. God said he would bless his people when they obeyed his will, and he did on many occasions. The New Testament teaches the same principle. The Lord will bless us as a result of keeping his word. Well, let's look at 1 John chapter 2 and read verse 3. 1 John 2 and verse 3 says, "And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments." And verse 5, "But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him." Those who obey the Lord's will can know that we know him. You can't really know God and then be rebellious to his will. No doubt Saul claimed to be a staunch follower of the Lord, but when it came down to it, he wouldn't submit to God's will. He showed that he really did not love God, and he also showed that he really did not know God. Now, those verses show us that by obeying God, we can know that we know him. That's another way of saying that the Lord blesses those who obey him. But let's consider what's written in Matthew 7, verses 24 and 25. We've already read verse 21. But Jesus said some other things to emphasize the importance of obeying his will. Those who hear the Lord's words and obey them will be able to persevere. Matthew 7, verses 24 and 25. "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock." You know, not too long ago, we suffered the effects of two hurricanes. And right after we had those hurricanes, I had several calls to do some minor repair work. And frankly, I was hesitant to go to the beach because I knew several of the large buildings, the condos and so forth, had been condemned. It was not safe to go into them. Well, I traced down a list of the condos that were safe, and I determined that I was going to avoid the others. But it was an eerie sight to go into a condominium on the beach that was safe, to go out on the balcony and look this way and that way. And while the building I was in was safe, the buildings on either side were condemned and had serious damage. That was just an eerie sight to me. And I know you saw the pictures on TV of all the damage, how a number of homes were just washed away. Well, Jesus talked about the house that was built on a rock. In other words, when the storms came, it persevered. It stood fast. It did not fall. What was the Lord teaching? He was teaching that those who hear and obey His words will be able to persevere. So we've already seen that the Old Testament scriptures emphasize the fact that God's will was to be obeyed, and God blessed those who obeyed Him. But then the other side of the issue was covered as well. Those who disobeyed God, He would punish. Well, we've just seen that the New Testament emphasizes the importance of doing God's will, and we've also shown that the Lord blesses those who obey Him. But what about those who decide to disobey? Well, let's continue reading in Matthew 7, verses 26 and 27. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Those words of our Lord sort of took on a new meaning when I saw some buildings that collapsed. And I have to admit to you, every time I read those words, there's one particular memory that comes into my mind. You see, there's a song, we refer to it as a children's song, based on these very instructions given by our Lord. I wish I knew how many times I've led that song in Vacation Bible School. And I never will forget when I asked the question one time about which house fell. A little girl spoke up and said, "The foolish man's." I think she got the point. By the way, she knew how to talk too. Well, if a child can see that, it just seems to me that reasonable adults ought to be able to see it. When Jesus delivered His word, He made it very clear. He made it very plain. Those who do not obey His will not persevere. They will not stand in the judgment. As a matter of fact, Jesus dealt with this in a very direct way in John 12 and verse 48. He said, "He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judges him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day." The Lord made it very clear that judgment is in store for those who reject His words. And We've already read from 1 John 2. Earlier, we read verses 3 and 5. Let's consider what John wrote in verse 4. You see, he dealt with the other side of the issue that we've already mentioned. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 4. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. According to what John wrote, remember he was an inspired apostle, those who do not keep God's commandments just do not truly know him. Now they can claim to know him, but through their actions they show otherwise. Now for our final point, we want to show from the scriptures that salvation from sin involves obedience to Christ's commands. Now we begin with the last verse in Psalm 111, which talks about those who do his commandments have a good understanding. That's one of the requirements for being in good standing with God. Let's be more specific and talk about salvation from sin. I never will forget, many years ago, I was listening to Teresa's dad preach a sermon. And he had a unique way of getting attention. And before his sermon, he said, today I want to talk to you about the most important subject that there is. He said, the salvation of your soul. Well, he had a unique way of expressing himself. And let me tell you, from that point on, everybody was all ears and all eyes, wanting to know what he had to say. Salvation from sin is an important subject. We all ought to be concerned about it. It has to do with where we spend eternity. And salvation from sin involves obedience to the commandments of Christ. Now, we need to be grateful for what the Apostle Paul wrote in Ephesians 2 and verse 8. In this verse, he said, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. We learn from that verse, as well as others, that salvation is a gift that God provides through his grace. You can't earn salvation. God gives it through his grace. You see, since salvation is a gift, you can't earn it. Every once in a while, I think about Naaman under the Old Testament. He was a leper. Elisha told him what to do so that he would be cleansed of his leprosy. The instructions were simple. Go and wash in Jordan 7 times and you will be cleansed. Well, Naaman became angry. He wanted to offer a substitute. He didn't want to go wash in that old muddy Jordan River. So he suggested some other rivers that were perhaps cleaner. That wasn't God's will. He became angry. The Bible says he went away in a rage, but he still had his leprosy. His servants came to him and they reasoned with him. And they said, you know, if the prophet had told you to do some great thing, you would have done it. You see, that's what Naaman had his mind made up about. That Elisha would come and wave his hand over the leprosy and make a big spectacle out of it. You see, that would be drawing attention to Naaman. Well, God was concerned about Naaman's heart. And Naaman showed the condition of his heart when he was as stubborn as King Saul was. But he finally listened to his servants. He went. He washed in Jordan. And I would love to have been there when he came up the 7th time. His flesh became like that of a little child. He learned an important lesson. Well, Naaman thought that he could earn his cleansing from leprosy with some great thing that he could do, or that Elisha would do. That wasn't God's plan. The cleansing of Naaman's leprosy was a gift from God. He couldn't earn it. But you know, he had to comply with the conditions that were given to him. The same principle relates to salvation. While salvation is a gift that God provides through his grace, the same Bible that teaches that also teaches us that we must comply with the Lord's instructions to receive that salvation. Listen to Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 9. Hebrews 5 and verse 9, I believe, clears this matter up in a very powerful way. It's speaking of Christ, and I'm breaking into a sentence, but verse 9 says, "And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him." Christ is the author of eternal salvation. But to whom does he grant salvation? To all them that obey him. Now, when we obey the Lord's will, does that mean that we're earning our salvation? No, because you can't earn it. God gives it. But God gives it to those who comply with his will. According to Romans 6, verses 17 and 18, we're made free from sin when we obey from the heart that form of doctrine that has been delivered. Let's read those verses. Romans chapter 6, verses 17 and 18. "But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness." Can't be any clearer than that. Paul was writing to people in Rome who had become Christians. Now, he says at one time they were servants of sin, but something had happened. They had learned the gospel. They had been taught it. And they obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine that was delivered to them. And at that point, they were made free from sin. And they became servants of righteousness. You see how the Bible emphasizes the importance of obeying God's commands in order to be made free from sin. But there's a very strong warning given to us in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. The verses we're about to read show that those who refuse to obey the gospel will be punished when the Lord returns. 2 Thessalonians 1, beginning at verse 7. "And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power." Now, these verses are very plain, very clear. Those who do not obey the gospel will be punished when Jesus returns. Well, there's a positive lesson to learn from that. Well, we just need to submit to the Lord's will. That way we can be looking forward to that day when he comes back. Matter of fact, there's a very powerful message of encouragement that's given to God's faithful servants in the last book of the New Testament. Let's turn to Revelation 14 and read verse 13. Revelation chapter 14 and verse 13. "And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them." God's faithful servants have a great blessing to look forward to. And notice that it mentions those who die in the Lord. They're described as being blessed. Well, those who submit to the Lord's will, remain faithful to him, have something special to look forward to. And let's listen to what John wrote in the very last chapter of the book of Revelation. Chapter 22 and verse 14. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. Well, Psalm 11 that we studied this morning teaches us a lot about offering praise to the Lord. We need to study it carefully to know what we need to know about offering praise to the Lord. But it also teaches us in the very last verse that the Lord blesses those who do his commandments.